President Biden's nearly $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill is up for a vote again in the House after the Senate passed a modified version over the weekend. The president could sign it into law this week. And when he does, low-income and middle-class Americans are expected to benefit the most. Sophie Collier is a research director at the Center on Poverty and Social Policy at Columbia University, which analyzed the bill and predicts it will reduce U.S. poverty by a third and slash child poverty by more than half. Sophie Collier joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
And some economists are describing this as one of the largest anti-poverty bills ever in the United States. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing and projecting is that we'd see a substantial decrease in the share of people in the United States in poverty, moving 13 million people above the poverty line, and seeing the rate of child poverty cut in half, which I think is pretty historic.
Yeah, that, it does sound significant. And what does your research say about who it will help the most?
What we're seeing is that there are kind of targeted proposals, specifically dealing with the share of people who are receiving unemployment benefits right now. Also seeing that it would have a huge impact by giving economic impact payments to, you know, a large share of people, and provide additional expansions that really focus on families with children, specifically through an expansion to something called the Child and Dependent Care Tax Credit, which helps with child care expenses, as well as to an expansion to the Child Tax Credit.
Well, right. Let's dig into that specifically, because it is an important part of this bill. It would provide most parents up to $300 per child every month. It would also reach families who weren't making enough to qualify previously. Let's talk about that. How would that change people's lives?
Yeah, so the Child Tax Credit is actually one of the largest federal expenditures made to directly benefit children. But under current law, a third of children in the country are ineligible for the full credit because their families don't have enough earnings to qualify. We also see that more than half of Black children and more than half of Latino children are left out or left behind when it comes to receiving the credit, as are 70% of single mothers. So the proposal in the American Rescue Plan would adopt a policy very similar to something called the American Family Act, which what it does is it increases the value of the credit. But we also see it becoming fully refundable, which means it's decoupled from earnings.
In other words, if you don't have tax liability, you can still take the tax credit.
Exactly.
Which would be significant for a lot of families.
It would be significant for a lot of families. And we predicted that even before the pandemic on its own, it would reduce the rate of child poverty in the country by about 45%.
I see. Well, I'm looking at 2017 and the Trump administration doubling the child tax credit. But again, as we've been talking about, mostly helped wealthier families. And even in the 1990s, Bill Clinton, a Democrat, cut aid to poor families. When I hear you talking, it makes me think that this is a major shift in U.S. policy. Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really historic. It's of historic importance, and it would reduce this extremely high rate of child poverty that we have, much higher than any of our peer nations. And it would directly benefit children and families across the income distribution. You know, this is a huge credit for many middle-income families as well.
Hmm. Well, some Republicans have expressed their opposition to it. They're calling it welfare, and they are making the argument that it would actually make people less likely to go back to work. Does your research show any truth to that?
So the National Academy of Sciences released a report a few years ago called The Roadmap for Reducing Child Poverty. And in that, they found pretty small impacts on the employment rate. Whatever changes in employment, the research has shown is very small and does not in any way offset the reduction in the child poverty rate that you would see.
We should note also that the child benefit in its current form would last only a year. Is there an argument to be made for making it permanent, as we do see in some other countries?
Yeah, I mean, I think that both of the proposals in the House and the Senate were for a permanent expansion. And so after this year and seeing what impact it could have on children and families, I imagine that there'd be a strong argument for making it permanent. Research from the center has also showed that in the long term, this expansion would really pay for itself. You know, the benefits to children, families, and society more broadly through, you know, increased earnings as adults, through increased tax payments as adults and improvements in children's health all make it such that this kind of proposal would pay for itself in the long run at a ratio of about 8 to 1. Hmm.
Sophie Collier, Research Director at the Center on Poverty and Social Policy at Columbia University. Thank you.
Thank you.